So if you remember last time we had started discussing Mutav Shi Shogigin, where the Gemara says under certain circumstances, you don't give Tochacha because it'd be better for people to violate accidentally rather than on purpose. And we saw at least two formulations in Rishonim as to whether the issue is a fundamental difference between Doraita and Darabanan, or is it more that is it things that people believe to be usher and take seriously and therefore might listen to you versus things that are not? Whereas things that are in the Torah, we assume that people will take seriously, and therefore it's likely to be able to change their mind, whereas things that are Darabanan, they might not believe you. And then the difference will be more what's mefurish in the Torah, what's not. And, you know, there could be sukkim these days that people don't know, Rachman al Islan Lawley, you know, because, you know, people obviously know everything that ever existed in Chumash. So, you know, so why would that ever happen? But potentially, as the footnote noted, that you could wonder whether nowadays, right, you'd have to change the standard. Now we have to integrate that as well into what we've been seeing in general about the halachot of tochacha. And their limitations, right? On the one hand, again, we said that you have to listen, you have to give musar even if they're going to hit you, or until they hit you, things like that. The Gemara in Shabbat, which had said that people were punished even though they weren't for not giving musar, even though they weren't going to listen. But the Gemara says that God knew that, but the people didn't. Therefore, the Satan got God to punish them. Now, there is another Gemara that discusses this idea of Mutav Shishogin, but it's a really strange Gemara, and that is the Gemara in Bava Batra, where the Gemara says that Tanya Amar Bishmal ben Elisha Miyom Shacharav Beit HaMikdash, I don't have this in the sheet, but Dinu Shenigzral Tzmeinu, we did it a few years ago, actually, Shalolechal Basar V'Lishtot Yayin, that since the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, really, we should forbid meat and wine. Ela Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Tzibroma Ken Robat Tzibor Yochol En Lamod, but we don't make decrees on the community can't handle. Umiyom shepashta malchut arisha, and since the evil kingdom has gotten its power, I Rome, she goes early nuk zerod raud v'kashod, mavatelet mimenu torah u'mitzvot, and nullifies our mitzvot, ein manach rotan likanes l'shua bein, they don't allow us to, you know, have shua bein, v'amrullah l'shua bein, it's a brit, or pidyon aben, dinu shenigdral atzmanish l'isa isha l'olibanim, we shouldn't have any children. V'nim tzazar sh'avram aminu kala me'elav, and then the Jews would just die out, and they wouldn't have to live without a mitzvot. Elahanach lam Yisrael would leave the Jews, mutav shishogin al yudim azidin. Now this is strange, because in this case it's not obviously usher to have children. So it's not clear, is it being used literally, right? Is this actually the principle, or is it being used, you know, sort of being borrowed, or does it point to sort of the fact that Mutav Yishogin is maybe more of an overarching policy concern? Okay, now, how does this play out, Lala? As we look at the Mishnah Brura, on Intavrech Chet Bet, brings the case of the women on Erev Yom Kippur. These women who eat all the way up to nightfall on Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur. So we don't stop them because they might come to do it on purpose, right? Mutiv Yishogin al Yumazidin. V'huadin, Ramah says, Behold of Yisrael, Mutiv Yishogin al Yumazidin, V'davka she'inu mefurish b'torah. So the Ramah quotes a middle position from the Ran, which says that it's not just deraita derabanan; it's deraita which is mefurash in the Torah versus anything that is not. Now, why would you distinguish between things that are not mefurash but Torah? So, one of two reasons: either even if it's biblical, if it's not explicit in the Torah, it's of a lower level, or because, as we saw, the reason that deraita might be different is because psychologically we only have to give musar in case of shogig where we think they're going to listen because they'll recognize what we're saying and say, "Oh, that's probably true." But if something is deraita formally, but it's not in the Torah. So then, exactly.
Wait, is that the general reason for why people continue doing it?
Because they won't take it seriously. Right now, they don't know, and you'll tell them, and they'll say, "Really? Where? Where does it say that in the Torah?" And you'll say, "It just is." Right? They might not. They might not believe it.
Why isn't the why didn't the payment of Toast Club just include to show sources or something?
People still might believe it. They might think it's a chumrah. You do know how often that happens? Look, it's usur. No, my parents didn't do it, and they were shomer. Halacha must not exist. How many times have heard that from people?
Isn't that just
the number of me and I've heard from other rabbis, right? The people who come over to the rabbi and say, "Rabbi, you said that it's usur to separate things on Shabbos, but my parents kept Shabbos. I never heard of such an usur. What is this bo rare thing you speak of?" Right, that happens, right? These oras, yeah.
Okay.
You show them a source sheet, and they'll be like, "What is this? It's Hebrew." Yep. Okay. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he says, first of all, to integrate some things, he says, "Ein mamachin biyadan v'dafbiyo debevad lishulukavimino v'savik shema kavod tzarich limchor afil mi derabbanan." So first of all, he says that even this limitation is only if you know they're not going to listen. If they might listen, then he thinks even by derabbanan you have to, right? So he integrates the Gemara in Shabbat to limit even the parameters of mutav yushog again, right? That if they might listen to you, very good. So that's a major limitation, right? Integrating Gemara and Shabbat here, even on the mutav yushog again, is a massive, massive limitation. Then he notes that ein chiluk ben ravim liyachid. But now he adds something else. He says, "What if they are mezit?" So he says, "Listen." He says, if someone's bemazed, then even if they're not going to listen, you have to rebuke at least once, as we saw in some of the Mefarshim. Why? Because as we saw, part of the reason for tochacha is not just to get them to stop. It's for yourself, right, or for society. That a statement has to be made. Now, she'enam afurish b'tora. Why does he say that? So he says, "Shalom ha'da'az anuichon litlot shiva mimutayin heim b'zeh." So the Mishnah Berurah takes the epistemic approach. So the reason that mutav yushog again doesn't apply to afurish b'kra is because not afurish b'kra, we can assume they don't really know, and they're really, and it's really an accident. Okay, now he also notes that if there's a sakana, you don't have to. The Mechta Shekel, he notes in the Ber Halacha, quote the Mil Tzedakah, it says, "V'davar she'achsul ha'minag garua lo'hakab afar esya." If the minag develops in public to violate the Yisur, so then, galan ha'shul yikavlu, we know they're not going to listen. So you don't have to stop the melanchin mefurash b'tor, unless it's mefurash b'torah. And now he notes that this mefurash b'tor comes from the Itter, quoting the Rosh Ran, etc., or quoted in the Rosh Ran. Now he notes that the Gemara in Shabbat had said that you have to give most, even if they're not going to listen. So he said maybe that's only in terms of onesh, right? Maybe you're chayiv, you just don't get punished, right? The mitzvah of tochacha maybe is even when they're not going to listen. And then he adds another interesting distinction. And he says, listen, this is only if it's once in a while. But if people, aval elu parke ol legamre, could go on mechal shabbat for esya, but people who violate her all the time, onochal avet lachet, or eat not kosher all the time, kvar yatsu michal amitech avinu mechal lochicho, then you don't have to give them most at all because they're not your brother anymore. Now, this is a fascinating exception, because what does this tell you? That Musar, that, right, Musar, you would think that a terrible, terrible Russia, you have more of a mitzvah to give Musar to. But he's saying no, because part of what drives you, your responsibility to give Musar is what? Your spiritual responsibility towards them as a mostly upstanding member of society who's making a mistake. But if they are so bad that they remove themselves from that category, they just don't care about the Torah anymore at all, so then you have no responsibility toward them at all.
And then he's ignoring, there's another approach saying that also think about the danger to yourself.
As in, you're also correcting them.
You're not correcting them. They're not going to listen to you.
As in, the person you should trust when you use the unit demise it.
And he says, yeah, but that's because you have a responsibility to them. But he said if they are so bad that they remove themselves from the category. No, that's what he says. They're not in Amitecha. Right? That's how he frames it, is that you're chayav to give Musar to them because... interestingly, he seems to say not, right? That there comes the point where they're just a lost cause. Now he says, the Ramah continues, Vim Yodeh Shein Varam Nishmayin, if things aren't going to be accepted, Lo Yomar Birabim Lo Chichan Rak Pamachat. They don't say it publicly more than once. And again, that's where, Avalo Yar B'tochok Ma'agash Yodeh Shal Yishmo Lov, Yachid Chayv Lo Chichan Rak Shekena Kalena. So he makes another distinction. The Birabim, if they're not going to listen, you still have to do it once, right? Presumably to make a statement for society. But in private, that's when you dafkar more chamor and you have to do it until they hit you. And that's where it's not true if the guy is a Russia. Now, maybe if someone is, you know, a Russia but he's doing it in public, maybe you at least have to say something once, you know, as a statement to society. I don't know. Right? That's definitely plausible. Aval, yeah. So, now the Birkei Yosef adds to Ad Kan Logam in the Davar of the First Batara Charles Limchot. Now he puts another major limitation. And he says, the only time you have to give Musar is where you have the power to stop them. Right? Which is interesting, right? But he notes that the Smak doesn't seem to think this. Now he puts another limitation. He says that this is only if he won't hate you after you give Musar. But if he's going to hate you, now he puts another limitation. Now what's the logic of that? That if he's going to hate you, you shouldn't. Presumably, either you don't have to endure that, or then Musar is counterproductive, right? Tocha is counterproductive. Now, again, why would you say you have to give Musar at least once? So one is because about society. Mishabura says maybe it's because you never know, right? Maybe he will listen. So you at least got to give it a shot. And then he adds that if the sin was in private, so then you should rebuke in private. If it's in public, now, the last thing of that, he just notes that when we say until he hits you, we don't mean he actually has to hit you. It's you keep giving Musar until he would hit you. Very good. Right? You don't actually have to endure the hit. You know, when the smack is coming, then you can stop there. Now, I will point out that nafkamina. Right, because again, the Ramah does quote this idea of Mefurish B'Torah, so the Chavad Yair goes as far as to say, yeah, that this is really a crazy Chavad Yair. The Chavad Yair says, what happens when it's violating Shabbat? So what would you call that? Mefurish B'Torah or not Mefurish B'Torah?
Well, it depends what you mean by violating Shabbat. Talking about like fire.
Right, so that's the sense of the Chavad Yair says. He says, listen, most Malachot, except for like a fire, the rest of them are not Mefurish in the Torah. And therefore he says, if you find someone hunting, then it's concerned Einam Mefurish B'Torah, right? And it would follow those rules, right? Which is actually quite striking because that limits a lot of things, right? Right? The Tzitz Eliezer quotes the Hartzvi and he says, yeah, that's true of a lot of treifot also, right? Treif, people know you can't eat treif, but besides for the case of drusa, right, of an animal that was like trampled by another animal, most of the treifot are not actually explicit in the Torah, right? Which holes in the lungs and things like that. Right now, that's really... Right now, but the Tzitz Eliezer himself says, I don't agree. Right? He says, why wouldn't you agree? So first of all, he says, in this case, you were actually causing him. Fine, we'll leave that. But he says, you have to distinguish. Mefurish B'Torah, is it that this is, sir, in all its details of it in the Torah? Not necessarily, right? If something's in the Torah, but, you know, there's some element of Halacha Lashon Sinai or a clarification. Now, it might come down to what? The question of whether you think it's about knowledge or about stringency. Right? Meaning, if something's basically in the Torah, you need a little clarification. Presumably, it's still as stringent as the Doraita. But it's possible that if it's not explicit in the Torah, you know, people won't.
I was going to wonder, how about reading the Torah? And
right. Now, now I will note just very quickly. Right, the Chtav Sofer in Siman Din Zayin says the difference between Mefurish B'Torah and not is about how chamor it is. But later on, he's right. He actually has both formulations. In one part of the Tshuva, he says the difference is how chamor is. The second one, he says, is how likely do are people to know. Right, so that question actually within the Achronim, with all the you know the things that that play out, you know are you know it's not so clear. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Well, I'm wondering, and I guess another possible distinction can be, or maybe just a, what if there are? I mean, there are. Laws in the Torah that, I mean, I can't think of any specific examples, but, you know, because of a homo or a juxtaposition from one pasuk to another, right?
Okay, I want to add, you know, again, we're not necessarily going to cover everything in this circuit, but I do want to add what I think is a very important perspective here. I mean, that is the following. The Rashba has a really shocking comment, because until now we've been talking about formal rules. But the Rashba in Tshuva to Rashba, Hey, Reish Lamed Ched, was asked about this. They asked, Bal Yeshiva B'Til Tila, I'm not going to be Nazuvi Yasser over him. Da. So he was asked about, you know, what people were doing. He says, Da ki Lashon Raka Tishbar Garam. A soft tongue will break bones. So Olam Kol Mesher Mesher Puna Derech Lefnei Am Lashir Machshila Ad Am Sarech La'alod Min HaKala L'chamura Ve'ein Notlin Kol HaChaval V'yachar. You don't take everything together. V'achar Kamar Alev Adver Amar. We follow the heart. And then he says, Kvar Yadata. You know that the Gemara says, Gedola Avera Lishma Mi Mitzvah Shalol Lishma. An avera lo lishma is greater than a mitzvah lishma. Ukvar er lenu motzad v'dat. We're going to regard those verses, etc. So now I'm just going to skip down. Right, and therefore he says, "Vatana shomer ge yom yadash shani melech al Yisrael ki lechol zman mizuman v'alaman ayman over l'ite mitzvah." He said, therefore, sometimes hiding your eyes is a mitzvah. V'akol lefi tzarech ha-sha'ab, everything is based on the time. V'achacham ma'alim ayin li'itim bekalud. And sometimes a wise person will hide his eyes. So what is the Rashba telling you? That in addition to everything we've seen, very good, right? The Rashba seems to think that at least, and of all mitzvah, this makes a lot of sense. That in addition to all the formal rules and sort of the principles that we've teased out of them, overarching that is the idea that you... sometimes the formal rules don't capture what's common sense, what's the right thing to do. And because Musar, Tochcha, part of it is to try to actually, you know, help people. Therefore, sometimes, though, even if the formal rules would dictate that you have to say, you know, you have to give Musar, sometimes the right answer is don't. Right? That sometimes the answer... is don't, right? This is a, right? And this is a very interesting claim, right? Because what this is saying is that in addition to the formal rules, right, you have to, Dafka, in this mitzvah, he's advocating a certain amount of common sense, right? And he's using very strong language. He's saying, even if that means uprooting the Torah. He's using the halachic language that sometimes you're allowed to uproot the law to tell you to have common sense, and sometimes don't just figure out whether it follows all the rules. Now, again, you know, some other sources. The right, if you look at the Chinuch in his Shor Shem, it's where it says Sheish Bezeh Shalom Atova Ben Anashim. Interestingly, thinks that Musar is about not necessarily you and God, but about making peace amongst people, which is first of all, interesting. He also says, Mikomakom, Yesh lit yashay b'chol nal nevesh lashkeach harbei b'animil. You should be very careful in all these things. Right? V'yivtach b'shem b'rach and trust God. Right? Meaning, again, he's using this language of saying that you know, you have to be smart. Now, the Taj Bates explicitly, you know, we've said that one of the reasons of Musar is because to protect yourself. So the Taj Bates is very explicit about this. And he says, right? Even if they don't listen, at least you've saved yourself. Now, I think if I put this more broadly, and you know, you see this in the Ketav Sofer as well, that he says, listen, maybe all these rules of Tochcha are like local rules, someone giving Tochcha. But remember, we said at some level, if you took Mutav Shishogan seriously, you would forbid all education, because all education makes people more mezid. That obviously can't be, because we understand that Musar is like a localized thing, but then there's like an overarching value of educating society. Right? So the Chavad Yair makes this point. The Ketav Sofer at some point, he says, right? Someone who is in charge of the community and he's supposed to be teaching Torah, right? Obviously, he needs to stand up for God's covenant, not his own. But you have to have your head in your shoulder. Again, there is this idea that you have to balance it with overarching educational goals. The Chavad Yair says this as well. Right, he was asked about this in Tshuva Kuf Mem Aleph. Let's get the key line. Right, he talked about someone who refrained from giving Musar. Okay. He says, "V'choshashani lo mechata." I think he did an avera. Adrol na haya lubosh kinat Hashem svakot. He should have taken on the vengeance of God. L'nadotot to put this guy in chayrem l'an show. Akid yavo l'kabel tshuva. V'loziv saravim nechirsh l'zech azrul yosivu b'nei avla la'asot kol yisha yashar b'nav. And if you're worried, oh, that now people will just keep doing our sins. Gam adayin yachush l'gizu mochshash kazev lo yisik sadek yashir rasha l'asher chavos l'ashrich ter mishinei rishim v'dushlach emet artsa mishmeneh shalem. He says, then everyone will be afraid of this. And he won't treat tzadikim as tzadikim. He won't treat rishayim as rishayim. He'll allow people to steal and do the wrong things. And he won't be able to take away, right? He'll be throwing, basically, prey to the teeth of the Rishayim, and truth will be thrown to the ground, and the laws of God will be batel. Right? And he said all the rules of Mutav Yishogegin and Tochicha and all of that, he said, that's with, like, local cases. Right? To tell you not to be, you know, a specific Rasha in one case. But he says, Masha ain't getting Pasha Bar Yisrael, but me the Chaival Amamon or Malkor need in law cloud. But if, right, someone's sinning, Chazajal in Lazuz, me din, Davidator, Atenu Gdolam, he's right, you can't go away from the Torah. Right, he brings the case of the Ben Isha Israelite, right, that God, that Moshe Paskind against the blasphemer, even though it led to his blasphemy in the Chumash, right? He's saying, obviously. He says, you have to teach the halacha. You can't always be worried. You can't allow people to hold the system hostage. And later on, he says, right, well, we'd be worried about the corruption of the entire generation. Right, so there is this idea that, look, there's the formal things, but that's, at some level, right, you have the Rajmo says there's common sense built into the system, but now you have a Yair and saying, and yeah, but the limitations that we're talking about, they're more about, like, local cases of Musar. They're not about, you know, they can't justify not educating people. I mean, that's crazy. It's obviously, right, there is a balance, but right, there's a broader, right, there's a broader perspective that you need to have. And admittedly, we saw that in the fact that, you know, Tzibor is different. If you look at the Sefer Re'ach HaLekamocha, right, he goes through a lot of the sugya. He comes up with the following very quickly, 8 summaries. He says, one, if there's a safek, we saw that you have to give tochecha. If it's not mefurish b'Torah, so that, and you think that they're not going to listen, and they're shogeg, you don't have to. But if you need to do a siag, as we saw, either to give Moshe or don't, then you do. If only some people are shogegin, he says, then obviously you can educate the community. And if some people become mazed, that's not your problem, right? If it's mefurish b'Torah, we assume they are mazed. If the sinners are mazed, then you have to at least in public give them Musar once, biyachid, until they, you know, curse you or hit you. Rishayim Gemurim, as we saw, you don't have to because there's the interpersonal isn't there anymore. And obviously there's no difference between men and women fundamentally in this. Now the Chavetz Chaim notes that there are some people, he says, who refrain from giving Musar and they hide behind Mutav Shishogigin. Right? They hide behind Mutav Yishogin. He's saying this in Lashon Hara. So he says, first of all, no, because it's Mefurish B'Torah. Lashon Hara is Mefurish B'Torah. Great. But he said, more importantly, Bed, and this is what I keep saying, he says, he said, if you were really going to say that things that are hard for people to keep, don't teach them, you shouldn't teach stealing, you shouldn't teach anything that's hard. And obviously, that can't be what this law means. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Why didn't the Gemara just not write itself? You want to make everyone a shogeg? Great, just don't write halacha. He's like, obviously, there's a limit. Right? And he says more than that. God shouldn't have put in the Torah. Zachar, remember what God did to Miriam. Well, maybe people aren't going to keep Lashon Hara. Why do you keep warning them? You're making them bigger mezidin. Like, if you take this logic, right, and this is what I think is obvious, is that at some level, right, you got to recognize you can't take this logic to the extreme. You take it to the extreme, it undermines everything. It undermines the idea of society. Right? It has to be that balance out with these local, you know, these local claims are like fundamental understandings of our goal is to improve society. You know, and again, this was many poskim invoke this, but this is really, you know, I think one of the, you know, things that you take into account, right? Now, there's interesting tshuva, which I'm not going to get into, which the Haredi poskim are debating whether the, you know, some people hold like rallies in favor of Shmirat Shabbat and against, you know, people are driving on Shabbat. Is that within the spirit of this law or against the spirit of this law, right? Which, well, yeah, no, they're very interesting tshuva. About this, and they, you know, they have all types of things. Are they going to listen? Are they not? Is it for us? Is it for them? Are they porke all, and therefore we have no responsibility to them?
I vote for stuff that's not Jewish at all, like a peace rally, BLM rally, or something like that.
Yeah. Again, you can right now. I think Moshe is right. Now, once you go into the more meta things, you can go beyond Isurim in terms of, you know, encouraging people to do the right thing. And then we can ask, okay, does this only apply to things that are like formal Torah Chiyuvim? What about things that you think are, you know, moral or right? You know, and less formal. Again, obviously, I think once you get into the more broad, you know, perspectives that focus not just on the technicality of Torah Chiyuvim, but the recognition that that's all balanced behind, a certain common sense and recognizing that there's obviously no basic Chiyuvim to educate society. Now, obviously, I think that's you know, important. And obviously, one of the major things, but we're not going to have time to get into it, is, you know, how do all these laws play out in a society that's majority not shomer halacha, right? Doesn't see themselves as committed to halacha, right? Does, on the one hand, does that exonerate us entirely because they're considered porke ol, or exonerate us because they're not going to listen, or exonerate us because it's going to make it worse, or it's mutav shogegin, right? Or does it, or is our chiyuv greater because in a society where people aren't keeping halacha, right, we have to make a stand, we have to fix it, we have, right? Obviously, these are major questions. What I wanted to show here is both built within the local halachot of Tochachot, Mutiv Shogun, and the like, as well as sort of the meta statements by the poskim. There's this formal element, and then there's the broader perspective about improving society and making it a more Torah society. That's being balanced in the background. Okay, we have to daven Mara, so we'll stop there for now.
No, is there anybody who likes to daven?